This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel. Science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And in this hour, once again, we're going to throw the lines open because, well, this hour is your hour. That's right. This is when you can talk back to the radio. How many times have you listened to the evening news, heard these incredible stories about space, about medicine, about all the developments happening in the laboratory, and you don't have anyone to talk to? You don't have anyone to bounce your ideas off of. It's just you and the TV and the radio. Well, here's your chance to get back. You can give us a call at 612-564-8135, and you, perhaps, can get on national radio. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, the city you're calling from, and ask that question. Make that comment, and perhaps you can get on national radio. So many times people tell me that they've been at the water cooler, and they're just shooting the breeze, and then someone just mentions something just out of the blue that leaves everyone stunned, because everyone is caught flat-footed. What does that mean? Who can we talk to resolve this question? Well, you can talk to me. You can give me a call at 612-564-8135 and have your thoughts heard on national radio. That's right. And go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, to find out what I've been up to. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest is called The Future of Humanity, Humanity in Outer Space. And the question is it possible to attend one of my lectures? The answer is yes. Go to my website. Occasionally, I give you my cities that I'll be traveling in. And maybe I'll sign your copy of The Future of Humanity. And after that, you can go to eBay and auction it off for money. That's right. My autographed books will actually bring in money. You can actually make money by going to my book tour. Okay, well, without further ado, let's get to the first listener phone call.
This is Karen Bang calling from California, listening on GCN. Neil deGrasse Tyson said there are green objects in space, such as nebulae, but based on my research, these are mostly false color images. Are there any naked eye objects in space that would appear green without any type of false color or telescopes? Also, I understand that certain animals can see ultraviolet and infrared. Would this mean the visual spectrum will be larger for them, and therefore something that appears orange to us would appear red or yellow to them? For example, would a bee or a wasp see violet as blue and blue as green, based on the fact their spectrum is stretched? Would it be possible the spectrum is flipped so that blue is red and red is blue? One last thing, if there are no green stars out there, would the discovery of a green star prove that it's manufactured by alien life? Thank you for your time.
Well, you ask a mouthful of questions, so let's try to break it down one by one. First of all, the human eye can only see really 3 colors. Now, you may say to yourself, that's kind of stupid. Everybody knows there's yellow and brown and magenta and pastel and all sorts of colors, and you're telling me that we can only see 3 colors? And that's right. If you take a look at the eyeball, there are basically 3 sensors there that sense red, green, and blue, the primary colors. All the other colors are mixtures of those 3. Now, it turns out that some women can see a 4th color. There's a mutation which allows some women to actually see more colors than just 3. But that's rare. Now, if you don't believe me, go to a TV set, especially the old ones, and look very carefully at the screen, and you'll see that the screen does not consist of hundreds of different colors at all. No, it consists of dots. Each dot is either red, blue, or green, the primary colors. Now, what is it that when you see yellow? Yellow, in some sense, is not a true color. It's a mixture of red, green, and blue. And so when you see yellow, you're not really seeing yellow in its true entirety. You're seeing an approximation to yellow. Now, take a look at the colors of the rainbow. When we were children, we learned about Roy G. Biv. The colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, violet. Roy G. Biv. And so these are all the colors of the spectrum, but your eyeball can only see three colors. Everything else is a combination of those three colors. So therefore, when you look at brown, you're not really looking at the elemental brown. You're looking at an approximation to brown. Now, look at the colors of stars. The colors of stars also go Roy G. Biv. Because according to the Maxwell-Planck distribution of frequencies, color corresponds to energy. Blue is more energetic than red. Red has the least amount of energy. Blue has the most amount of energy. So something that is red hot is only maybe a few thousand degrees, but something that is blue hot can be tens of thousands of degrees. Now, if you don't believe me, get a match. Light a match, and you see that at the bottom of the flame is bluish, and at the top of the flame, it is reddish, which is exactly the colors of the rainbow. So the colors of the rainbow are there every time you see a fire. At the bottom of the flame is blue. At the top of the flame, it is red. Now, you asked about animals. It turns out that bees can see another color that we cannot, ultraviolet. Now, how do you prove that? Well, take a look at a flame. At the bottom of the flame is blue, but if you look very carefully, you'll see that the flame is, for the most part, floating. Floating invisibly above the wick. It's unattached. Amazing. So the flame is actually not the true flame. The flame is a column of hot gas, the bottom of which you cannot see. It's invisible, and that's called ultraviolet. And then the top of the flame is red, but there is a color beyond red, and that is infrared. And so your eyeball can only see a range of colors within a flame. You cannot see the entire flame at all. So next time you see a flame, look at the bottom and see that it's not attached to the wick at all because there's ultraviolet radiation there. Now, bees can see ultraviolet radiation. Why? Because when the sun is covered or overcast, or when the sun is uncovered, the bees have to be able to lock on to nectar. They have to know where the flower beds are, whether or not there's clouds or not. Ultraviolet will go right through clouds, and that's why bees can see more colors than you. Bees can see the colors of flowers in ultraviolet as well. Now, some people think that nature created flowers to please humans. Well, not necessarily. Flowers are older than humans. Flowers go back before the dinosaurs. And so it means that the colors of flowers were not really created for our benefit, but for the benefit of insects, which have lived on the planet Earth much longer than us. And insects see colors that we cannot. So therefore, when you see the colors of flowers, you're only looking at a tiny fragment of the true colors of flowers, which can be in the ultraviolet range. So sorry about that. You do not see the universe as it really is. You see only a sliver of the universe with your eyeball. Well, once again, you can get on Science Fantastic by giving us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from. And hey, maybe your thoughts will be heard on national radio. So why do we scientists have to have all the fun? Why can't you jump in and ask that question that's always been bothering you? Once again, you've been listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and you can be part of the March of Science.
if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. This is your chance again on national radio. This is your chance to be able to be at the forefront of science. Well, let me just mention that the previous caller asked about the different colors of the rainbow and why there are not any green stars. Well, actually, there are green stars because green is relative. Green is a primary color, and it corresponds to one of the colors of the rainbow, and the colors of the rainbow in turn correspond to the color of stars. Therefore, stars can come in all the colors of the rainbow, including green. But of course, when we talk about stars, we talk about blue giants and red dwarfs. But no, there are other colors of stars because temperature corresponds to a color according to the Stefan Boltzmann law. Okay? Well, anyway, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Hello, Dr. Kaku. This is Jesse from Houston. I had a question for you that's a little bothering my mind. You probably heard this before being in string theory, but if I had a rocket, it's barely in space, barely floating right outside of Earth, and I got a ship big enough, the fuel's ready, enough fuel to go to speed of light. Okay? Now, on Earth, there is a beam of light that starts. We both start at the same time, going at one destination. It doesn't matter. That's not part of the question. We go one destination. Of course, the beam of light is going faster than me. Now, calculated it through the fuel they use, you go the speed of light. It takes 4 years, whatever year. Now, we're both going the same speed. Now, if I go in a second gear, if you will, and I go, say, 5 miles faster than the speed of light. If I look back in, from my rocket that I'm in, what do you think you see in between me, the rocket, going faster than the speed of light, and the speed of light that is, of course, going the speed of light, the light, the beam light, the light of beam? What do you think you see in that gap? Future, past, parallel universe? What do you think? Thank you. Love your show.
Okay, well, you ask a series of questions, so let's try to break it down. First of all, velocities do not add in relativity theory. For example, if you are on an escalator and you throw a baseball, then the question is, how fast is the baseball going? Or for that matter, if you're in a jet airplane and you shoot, you fire a machine gun, how fast is the machine gun bullets going, given the fact that you are boosting the projectile by being on an escalator or by being inside a jet? Or people ask the question, if you're in a rocket ship near the speed of light and you turn on a flashlight, what is the speed of the flashlight, given the fact that you have the speed of the rocket originally? Now, common sense says you have to add the two. You add the two, the velocity of one plus the velocity of the other is the net velocity. But you see, in relativity theory, no, that's not true. Velocities do not add. And that's the key to the whole puzzle. So if you are in a rocket traveling near the speed of light and you throw a baseball, in principle, the baseball should exceed the speed of light because you add velocities. But nope, velocities do not add. If you do the math, it comes out very clear. But common sense tells you that you can always add velocities. Therefore, if you are in a rocket ship and turn on a flashlight, how fast is the flashlight moving? At the speed of light. Now, that seems to violate the common sense that we've learned ever since we were kids. But hey, your common sense is wrong. Now, this gets even crazier. If I have a rocket ship with a flashlight inside, how fast is the flashlight moving with respect to someone inside the rocket and with respect to someone outside the rocket? Well, common sense says you should have two velocities, the velocity of the light in the rocket and the velocity of the light outside the rocket. Nope. When you actually do the experiment, and the experiment's been done, when you actually do the experiment, the speed of light is the same no matter how you measure it. Now, you may say to yourself, that's impossible. That's incredible. No, it violates common sense. How is that possible? And the answer is, actually, it actually dawned on Einstein himself in the spring of 1905. And that is, your brain has slowed down. Time slows down inside the rocket. You don't notice it, of course, because everything else has slowed down in the rocket. But that's how you resolve all the paradoxes. We forget something. We assume that your brain travels at the same velocity, that you think at the same velocity of a person sitting at rest. No. If you're in a rocket ship, your brain slows down. Everything in the rocket slows down. And that's why everything you measure slows down as well. And that is how you resolve all the paradoxes. In fact, Einstein himself was puzzling over this for about 10 years. For about 10 years, when he was 16 years old, to about the age of 26, he pondered this question about how can you go faster than the speed of light? And then you realize you can't, because every time you try to go faster than the speed of light, your brain slows down, and therefore you cannot measure it. Now, what does it feel like? That's the question that came in. What do you see if you're in the rocket traveling near the speed of light? And according to relativity, things seem normal. Everything else has slowed down, but your brain has slowed down too, so you don't notice it. I once saw a science fiction movie, one of the worst science fiction movies ever made, and the aliens kidnap some Earthlings and put them in a flying saucer, which then whizzes out near the speed of light. And then the alien says to the Earthlings, "Look at your watch." And the Earthlings in the movie say, my God, my watch has stopped. Einstein was right. You see, no, that's not how it works. Inside the rocket, your brain has slowed down, and therefore when you look at your watch, it seems normal. Because the watch is slowed down, your brain has slowed down,
everything has slowed down. And that's how you resolve all the paradoxes of relativity theory. People forget that. You have to take into account that your brain has also slowed down, so everything you measure is screwed up as a consequence. In other words, relativity works, and we prove it every day. In fact, in our physics class, we actually prove some of these things right there in people's, right there in front of people, using laser beams in a fiber optic cable. Okay, well, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
My name is Dr. Umeo Sarkar. I'm calling from India, Calcutta. The radio station I'm listening to, I will be listening to, will be West Lebanon, New Hampshire, WUVR 1490 amplitude modulation. Thank you, sir. I am a very big fan of you and your communicative skill. What's your views about panpsychism? My question is, sir, what's your view about panpsychism, that even electrons are conscious, as if they are waves, field in the rubric of the universe itself? Please shed some light on this, and let all of us be enlightened, sir. Thank you very much. My sincerest respect. Thanks again. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you, sir.
Well, you're calling all the way from India, and unfortunately, the reception was not so good, so I didn't quite get the message, but let me try to answer what I think your question was. Your question talks about the quantum theory and how do we view, like, the electron. And we look at the electron in two ways. First of all, the electron has an antiparticle called the positron, which has positive charge. So in quantum mechanics, you have positive charge particles and negative charge particles. They are antiparticles of each other. When they meet, they annihilate. That's yet another duality in terms of particle-wave duality. People wonder, well, the electron, is it a particle or is it a wave? And it turns out that we physicists believe that the electron is a particle. It is a particle. However, the probability of finding that particle at any given point is given by a wave. And that's how a particle and a wave can be more or less the same thing. They really are a little bit different. So what is the electron? The electron is a particle. It's a dot. However, the probability of finding that dot is given by a wave. And so when the wave is maximized at a certain point, that's where the electron is most likely to be, and that's why we say that's where the electron is, even though it's an average effect. Now, to make things even more complicated, we now believe that this dot could actually be a string, and I'll talk about that after the break. So let's take a short commercial break, and once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The Food and Drug Administration announced Friday that they will be delaying their decision on whether to issue a total ban on menthol cigarettes, which was supposed to be determined by the end of August. The FDA initially considered a ban on menthol tobacco products during the Obama administration after smoking opponents began calling for action in 2009 when Congress exempted menthol from a ban on flavored cigarettes. The August jobs report saw the unemployment rate tick up to 3.8%, while the economy added 180,000 jobs, slightly more than analysts expected. At the White House on Friday, President Biden says the report demonstrates the economy has recovered from the coronavirus pandemic lockdowns.
People are coming off the sidelines, getting back to their workplaces.
Tim Berg, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
This is Science Fantastic.
Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And before the break, we had a question. I think the caller was getting at, like, what is an electron anyway, a subatomic particle? Well, as we mentioned before, we think that an electron is a dot. However, in quantum mechanics, the probability of finding that dot at any given point is given by a wave. And so when the wave gets larger, we think that's probably where the electron is located. And then the question is, well, what is this dot we're talking about? Is it really a dot? Well, we think that no. If you had a super microscope and could look at an electron, we think that it's actually a rubber band. A rubber band or a string that vibrates. And when it vibrates at different frequencies, that's why we have different subatomic particles. And that's why we have so many subatomic particles. Why should Mother Nature be so malicious to give us all the subatomic particles in nature? Hundreds of subatomic particles. When I got my PhD at Berkeley years and years ago, I had to memorize the names of all these god darn subatomic particles. In the future, I would hope that to get a PhD in physics, all you would have to do is say string theory and get your PhD. Because we think that a vibrating string can, in fact, generate all the particles of nature.
Now, of course, this theory is not proven yet, but we hope that the Large Hadron Collider will one day allow us to calculate and detect the higher resonances, higher octaves of the string, and we think that's dark matter. Dark matter is a substance that has not been found yet in the laboratory. We know it exists out there in the galaxy, but we think that dark matter could be the next vibration of tiny vibrating strings. Okay, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Hello, this is Albert from San Jose, California. I catch you usually on online, so I don't have a radio station call letter. First of all, it's a great honor to speak to you, sir. I really do enjoy your show. I have a question, though, in regards to classification of our civilization from type 0 to type 1. And your estimate would be about 100 years from now. I've heard you mention that before. How or when do you actually, can you classify us as a type 1? What great event would take place in order for us to convert over to be seen as type 1? Or is it a collection of events? I was just curious about that. Thank you very much. You take care of yourself. Thank you.
Okay, well, we scientists get frustrated when people talk about alien civilizations in outer space and little green men, because we scientists like to rank things. We like to give numbers to things. We like to quantify things, not just BS about them at the dinner table. So Nikolai Kardashev in Russia gave us a ranking for extraterrestrial civilizations, type 1, 2, and 3. A type 1 civilization absorbs all the light that falls on it from the sun. They are type 1, like Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon. They would exist in a planetary civilization. For example, they would have mined the oceans, they control the weather. Anything planetary is within their domain. Then eventually they exhaust the power of their planet and they begin to absorb the energy of a star. This is called type 2, a civilization like in Star Trek. In Star Trek, they actually can ignite stars. And type 3 is galactic, whereby you roam the galactic space lanes like in Star Wars. And then the question is, what are we on this cosmic scale? Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we'll talk about what we are on this cosmic scale, and when will we attain type 1, type 2, and type 3 status. Okay, so once again, this is Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Yes, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And before the break, we had a question about our civilization. We physicists rank civilizations by energy. We don't talk about little green men. We don't talk about fantastic things of encountering aliens in space. No, we physicists like to quantify things. And we quantify them by energy. Type 1 would be planetary, for example. Type 2 would be stellar. Type 3 would be galactic. Now, what are we on this cosmic scale? Do we control the weather? Do we control stars and black holes? Do we roam across the galactic space lanes? No, we're type 0. Carl Sagan, however, gave us a more accurate estimate. He devised a logarithmic scale, and he calculated that we are about 0.7. In other words, we're converging on being a type 1 civilization. And you can actually see this culturally, in fact. For example, English will probably be the future language of this type 1 planetary civilization. We talk about sports. We already have planetary sports in the form of soccer and the Olympics. We actually have a planetary music evolving, youth music, rock and roll, rap music, and stuff like that. We have a planetary culture forming, high culture with Chanel and Gucci. And so we're beginning to see planetary cultural artifacts being developed in our society. But it won't be probably for another 100 years. And why 100 years? Because in 100 years, we will be creating as much energy on the Earth as light falls on the planet Earth. Right now, we only use a fraction of the amount of light energy that falls on the Earth. An advanced civilization would use all of it, and that is type 1. Now, a type 2 civilization is immortal. Nothing known to science can destroy a type 2. Ice ages and even a supernova cannot destroy a type 2 civilization. So we should see them. We've looked in outer space for type 2 civilizations, and so far we have not found any at all. Sorry about that. And one day I was in the London Planetarium giving a talk about this, and a little boy comes up to me, must be about 10 years old, and he says to me, "Professor, you're wrong. You're wrong, Professor. There's type 4. And I said to the little boy, "No, come on, give me a break. I mean, after all, there are planets, there are stars, and there are galaxies. That's it, kid. There's nothing beyond planets, stars, and galaxies." But the little kid tugged on my pants and said, no, Professor, you're wrong. There must be type 4. And then I realized that, hey, maybe he's right. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe there really is a type 4 civilization beyond galactic, like what we find in Star Trek. In Star Trek, there is a civilization beyond galactic, and that is the Q. The Q has the power of a god, able to manipulate galaxies if he felt like it. So maybe there is a type 4. However, we are stuck with type 1. But the transition between type 1, between type 0, where we are today, and type 1 is potentially catastrophic. Because a type 0 civilization still has all the savagery of its past emerging from the swamp. And as a consequence, it's not guaranteed that a civilization will go from type 0 to type 1. They could blow themselves apart. They could ruin their civilization with pollution. All sorts of things could happen to prevent them from going from type 0 to type 1. But that's where we are today. We are at perhaps the greatest transition point in the history of civilization. The transition from a savage type 0 civilization to a peaceful planetary type 1 civilization. And we're privileged to be alive to see this transition happening right before our eyes. Every time I read the newspaper, I realize that I'm reading about the birth pangs. The birth pangs of the birth of a planetary type 1 civilization. Okay, well, unfortunately, I think we have to wrap up. Once again, in this segment, give us a call at 612-564-8135. And in the next segment, we're going to continue to take your listener phone calls. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and be part of the fun. Be part of the March of Science by calling into Science Fantastic.
Healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD, powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, He doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. That's right, you too can be part of the March of Science by giving us a call and asking that question and making that comment that's always been bothering you. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and perhaps you can ask that question and get on national radio. I mean, after all, how many times have you been watching the TV, listening to radio, and something pops up that catches your fancy, but you have no one to talk to? Nobody. It's just you and the TV, you and the radio. Well, here's your chance to get to the telephones and ask me that question. Make that comment and have that thing heard on national radio. The number to call, once again, is 612-564-8135, and you, too, can get on national radio. Okay, let's move on and take the next listener phone call.
Hi, this is Armand from Queens, New York. I listen to YouTube. I was wondering, you know how they have bicycles that have an assist with a battery? It's like an electric bike, semi-electric bike. I was wondering if there's a way to be able to charge that battery with the same pedal motion and then keep using that battery as you're going. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Well, the short answer is yes. You can convert mechanical motion into electricity. In fact, some people think that in the future, instead of having to charge up your cell phone or whatever, we'll have wearable computers that are energized by the motion of your body. So even the simple muscular motion of your body would energize the electric devices that you have without having to have those pesky lithium-ion batteries. And here's how it works. Think of a dam. In a dam, you have water going over the dam, and it spins a wheel. The wheel, in turn, is connected to a magnet, and the magnet spins because the wheel is spinning. The magnetic field, in turn, pushes the electron in a wire, and therefore moves the electron in the wire, creating electricity. That's how hydroelectric dams work. That's how we energize a lot of the homes around the country using hydroelectric dams. That's how bicycle lamps work. Bicycle lamps work because the motion of the wheel turns a tiny dial which spins. Connected to the dial is a magnet. The magnet, in turn, is very close to a wire. The magnet then pushes the electrons in the wire, creating a current which energizes your light bulb. And that's how bicycle batteries work. And one day, perhaps we'll even energize our home devices, our portable devices, using the bodily motion of our movement. The very fact that your body moves creates vibrations, which in turn can push against electrons, giving you a current. So perhaps in the future, you're not going to have to worry about batteries at all. Well, we only have a few minutes left in Science Fantastic, so let me take a few of the email questions that I get, because not everybody is, not everybody wants to be on national radio. Some people are shy, but they email me questions, so let me answer a few of these questions. One question that I get is about the Space Force. The President of the United States has said that we have to have not just the Air Force, not just the Army, but a Space Force, because space is where all the action is. Well, there are pluses and minuses to both sides, so let me give you the pluses and minuses. On the plus side, well, let's be serious. Let's not be naive. The Chinese and the Russians, they too
are looking at the militarization of space. Let's not be naive about this. The Chinese, about 10 years ago, even shot down one of their own satellites using one of their satellites, proving that they have killer satellite capability. In fact, the destruction of one of these Chinese satellites created a debris field of about 2,000 pieces of debris, and scientists around the world were horrified that a killer satellite from China created all this junk, and we scientists on the Earth now have to compensate for that whenever we shoot one of our satellites through this junk field created by the Chinese. Well, the point here is that the Russians are experimenting with this, and we are too. Let's be clear about this. And therefore, there has to be a cop on the block. And that's where the Space Force comes in. Not that it's going to terrorize everybody, but it's going to be basically a peaceful force like a cop on the block that regulates the traffic, makes sure that things are peaceful, and that things don't get out of hand. That's the plus side. The minus side, however, is, well, if war does break out, who is the most vulnerable? We are. We are the ones that depend upon satellites for communications, for early warning, for the internet, for GPS. If a war were to break out, we would be the first to feel the effects. So let's say a small country, even like North Korea, could in principle detonate an atomic bomb over Kansas. Placed just right, it would create an electromagnetic pulse that would paralyze our communication system. Think of two gunfighters, where one gunfighter throws sand in the enemy's eyes, blinding him in the opening shots of a war. Even if the other side has bigger weapons, these bigger weapons are useless because you've now blinded them with the electromagnetic pulse. The electromagnetic pulse is real. It's not fictional. We've actually created an electromagnetic pulse back in the 1960s by accident. And so this means that we have to be very careful. If we begin to militarize space, we need a treaty like the Outer Space Treaty of 1967 to regulate this, because we are the most vulnerable to a space war. Okay, well, that's it for Science Fantastic. Once again, you can get on Science Fantastic by giving us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letter to the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from. And hey, maybe you can get on national radio on Science Fantastic. Good day.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey, to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.